Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for listening in. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm so happy to have back with us is Helen Henderson. Hi, Helen. How are you doing?
Hi, Linda. Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. For those of you who don't know, Helen's going to be reading from Hatchling's Curse, which is book two of the Drakshi Chronicles. And Helen was on the show previously back in late 2013 with her sci-fi paranormal romance Imprisoned. She's also the author of the Windmaster series. But these Drakshi Chronicles, this is something brand new, isn't it?
Well, actually, Dragon Destiny was the first book in the series, and that came out quite a maybe about 3 or 4 years ago. Life got in the way. Some publisher things got in the way. Life got in the way again. And now it was re-released. Unfortunately, the characters refused to stay grounded, and it is now going to be a four-book series.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, well, for those of you who don't know Helen, she is a published author, she's a feature story writer, and she's a correspondent. She also has written fiction for as long as she can remember because her heritage reflects the contrast of her Gemini sign. She's a descendant of a Pennsylvania German Scot and a Czech, and she's basically a coal miner's daughter and an aviation flight engineer. This dichotomy shows in her writing, which crosses genres from historical adventures and westerns to science fiction and fantasy. And in the realm of fantasy, like I said, she's the author of two series, The Drakshi Chronicles and the Windmaster novel. Now, if you'd like to talk to Helen after she gets through reading her excerpt from Hatchling's Curse, please call in. She'd love to hear from you at 646-727-2932. I have the chat room open if you'd like to come in and listen there. And if you have a question, just type it in. I'll be more than happy to relay it. Or if you're sitting there on the website or on Facebook and listening, just email me your question, linda@lindamooney.com, and I'd be more than happy to pass it along. And all. Now, Hatchling's Curse, this is completely, I mean, the Drakshi Chronicles, I've been looking into that and all, because my first thought was, okay, man, dragon, he's a changeling, and he's not. He exchanges bodies.
That's correct.
With the dragon. He doesn't shift into one. He changes into the dragon. So I'm assuming that the dragon then can become part of him human?
I haven't pursued that part of their relationship yet. Pretty much it's a pair of two beings. One's a dragon
mm-hmm.
soul and one's a human, and they can
mm-hmm.
shift forms at will. Generally, most of the dragon souls just kind of hang out and sleep and watch the world through their twin human soul's eyes. Lord Brannan, who's the main character of Dragon Destiny, and his tale continues in Hatchling's Curse, he has a unique dragon soul who likes to participate. He has a sense of humor. And actually, in a couple cases, he's actually taken over control of their shared body, and Brannan kind of watched through the dragon's eyes. So there have been some very unique situations that have been suggested with the shifting forms, but I haven't pursued those yet. They got a little bit too into the erotica side for me.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and turn the floor over to you so you can read us the blurb and then go right on into your excerpt. So, Helen, take it away.
Okay, thank you. And again, good evening, everybody sitting out there watching and listening. I'm Helen Henderson. And tonight we're going to be doing Hatchling's Curse, who is book two. And Lord Brannan Llewellyn is a Drakshi. He's a human who can exchange bodies with a dragon. After millennia of waiting and searching, Brannan and his dragon counterpart Llewellyn have found their intended mates. For the Drakshi, the freedom of flight comes with a price. Now Brandon has to find a cure for the childlessness of his kind. Cryptic references to mating flights add hope, but dark references about the deaths of suitors threatens not only his life, but the dreams of all dragon shifters. To save his kind, Brandon has to win the mating flight. The cost? All he treasures. And throwing the competition is not an option. So that kind of gives you a little bit of the tension that Brandon is in. He had searched for over 300 years to find Anastasia, which takes place in Dragon Destiny. So spoiler alert. And I've set it up. You have the twin souls. Now, Brandon winged low over the crashing surf. Determination strengthens his frame. The few stolen moments on the beach or in the small clearing near the camp were not enough. He would spend time with Anastasia, with or without Drak's approval. With the sliver of attention he kept on Marsayan, Brandon tracked the stallion's progress along the narrow jungle trail toward the trader's camp. Gold glinting in the distance pulled Brandon out of his dark thoughts. Focusing his long vision, he watched a wing-shaped arrow down to the water and called out, "Ho, Liam! Dylan let you loose?" The other dragshi's good humor rippled through the mental link. "My wife had a craving for fish, and the healer said it would be good for her." He mentally shrugged, "So here I am." "I'll help," Brandon said. "Maybe Drak will let me stay the night if I bring some too," Brandon chuckled. A candle mark and a dozen dives later, he figured the mound of yellowfin sea swimmers on the shore would feed a battalion of soldiers, or at the very least, two hungry dragons and one dragshi female. A cry of frustration rang like a battle drum in Brandon's head. "Stasia, what's wrong?" Liam's bugle deafened Brandon and obliterated any response Anastasia might have sent. Liam screamed again. "Dylan, Lexi!" His thought contained a pain that halted Brandon's breath. "Something is wrong with my mate, my daughter. I have to go to them." Yellow wings blurred against the blue sky as Liam sped away. "Liam, wait for me," Brandon called. Instead of hovering to allow his friend to catch up, Liam flew faster. "Follow as you can." Anastasia's message reached them midway back to the camp. Fears of his own made Brandon miss a stroke. Along with Ewain, Anastasia and Vivel were trapped on the tall cliffs at the headlands. Options raced through his mind. He was closer to the beach and Anastasia, but Dylan's and the trader's needs were greater. Sending a desperate message to Anastasia to be safe, he spun on a wingtip and raced in Liam's wake toward the caves. Between one wing stroke and the next, the berserker craze of his kind overwhelmed him, and he trumpeted to the wind. The rest of Anastasia's words froze Brandon's soul. "Brock has Lexi, on the beach, not at the caves." Another wave of rage flowed through his body. He was not alone. Llewellyn was ready to assist with dragon strength and will. Llewellyn's voice boomed in Brandon's mind. "The babe must be saved." His tone changed, and an unusual sadness leaked through. "Our mates are skilled warriors. They will survive. We will heal them with our fire if need be." Curses didn't slow Brandon's frantic race towards the water. He pushed past his limits and still continued on. The ground beneath him blurred as he flew faster than he had ever had in his life. Liam struggled to keep up, falling farther and farther behind. The fear Brandon sensed through his link with Anastasia prevented any consideration of slowing. Although only a dozen breaths had passed since he learned of Brock's attack on the camp, his slowed reality made the time lapse seem much longer. Without breaking stride, he sent call after call to Anastasia to be answered by silence. His world narrowed to one thought. What happened to Anastasia? And we're going to continue on in the scene, but we're going to change the position a little bit. Now we're with Anastasia. She did not need Ewain's statement to know their dire straits. Her own scan of the battlefield showed more the enemy force racing toward the already beleaguered defenders. She reached over and snatched another of the feathered slivers from her shoulder. Aided by battle-quickened blood, more and more poison slipped into her veins with each prick. It was only a matter of time before she could no longer defend herself or her friends. The longer reach of the blow darts had already taken their toll. On the ground and unable to move, the Sidehern were now more a hindrance than an asset. Step by step, she fought her way toward Vivel, who used his fallen mount as a shield. her long sword stabbed out, piercing the side of a man about to spear the sealter. Chest heaving, she watched her cousin join forces with Yuan to disarm yet another attacker. Using every technique she had learned at the hands of the master weaponsmith and reinforced by Brandon's own efforts, Anastasia stabbed and slashed. Her world narrowed to the blade in her hand. Each time she encountered a larger or more skilled opponent, Yuan or Frau Mix stepped in with a block or a parry. However, the sheer numbers of the attackers allowed only one conclusion. We have to retreat. But the crumbling ground at the edge of the cliff led to a sheer precipice. The haze that had lingered since the first dart thickened, blurring Anastasia's vision. Sister, Jessian cried, the link between our souls thins. Sadness filled the dragon's soul. Soon your magic and mine will be too weak to switch forms. Anastasia didn't need to ask the result if the bond between them broke. Both dragon soul and human would die. Fear at losing Jessian increased the reach of Anastasia's desperate summons. This time, a faint response penetrated the gray cotton wrapping itself around her mind in magic. Brandon's familiar touch gave her courage, as did his message. Marstein is near. Help, hold on. I'm coming, too. Help is coming, Anastasia cried. Yuan's features tightened. It will be too late, Anastasia. I have my orders. You must be saved at any cost. When I create an opening, you run. I'll keep anyone from following you as long as I can. Anger, fear, all merged into implacable resolve. No, Anastasia argued. I will not turn tail. Anastasia, do as I say, Yuan ordered, or I will throw you off the cliff myself and Brandon can heal your broken body later. An option, one Anastasia had earlier refused to consider, refused to be squashed. She had to leave her friends. Not only would they be short a defender, she had not done that many midair shifts. Lud's command, sending more raiders against Bivol's fragile position, forced the issue. Her voice pitched above the din and metal. Anastasia called out, I'm getting Jessian. Casting a prayer to her ancestress Etienne for protection, Anastasia gathered her magic. Running to the edge of the cliff, without breaking stride, she stepped over the edge. And that is where I'm going to leave you, literally on a cliffhanger.
Oh, my God. That's funny. Oh, goodness gracious. Oh, I explain to me again what would cause him to die, because why?
Any of the dragshi. If the mm-hmm. human is killed, the dragon could come into their own. However, mm-hmm. if there is a metal of any kind, especially iron, pierces their myth while they're actually changing, before they're between forms, uh-huh. both will die. And I actually use that as one of the legends that is in the books.
Oh,
so,
how can you tell if they're changing? If they're switching bodies, so to speak.
Think of the Star Trek transporter with the shimmering
okay.
mist.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have
one
shape, it shimmers and transforms, and then it solidifies into a second one. And while it's still shimmering, just like at Star Trek, the transporter might lose a body. Throw some iron into that mist, and it breaks the bonds of magic. So hopefully that answered your question.
So if you see that shimmering form and you shove an iron sword into it, it'll kill it.
It'll kill both the human and the dragon forever.
Gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Neither one will have their magic. Neither soul will ever be, cross the ribbon. No. Cross the bridge to the ancestral clan hold, as they used to say in their kind. They're both permanently dead. Changing form in the middle of a battle is not too wise thing if you have to do it.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine, especially if somebody knows the secret and of how to dispatch you. We have a question here from an Angela. She says, does this take place on Earth or on an alternate world?
It takes place in a fantasy world. Very earth-like, kind of like an ancient Scottish land. There's also an ancient, there's, you know, a southern sea that they visit at times that's equivalent of like China. So it's not really an alternate world as such, but it is a earth-like world, total fantasy, created out of my own warped little mind.
Okay, so it's a world that is similar to Earth.
Yes, it's Earth-like, but a lot of Earth rules. Mm-hmm. The people are, you know, human to however many degrees you want to do them, except in this particular world, there are dragons, and some humans are fortunate enough to be born with a twin dragon soul.
Ah,
so they can when they become old enough, they can fly.
So that's pretty cool. Oh, I bet that's pretty cool. Now, you said this was going to be a four-part series?
It's a four-book series. The next one, Hatchling's Mate, will be out later this year, probably late fall. And then next spring will be the fourth one.
We're looking
forward to that one. Anastasia and Brandon are in it. But it continues with, it's basically another dragshi who is looking for his mate. His name is Talon, and he's, fortunately, they believe he has found his mate. There's only one problem. He can't stand her, and she can't stand him. So they are not going to be spending hundreds of years together. The last one continues their tale. And wraps it up with them actually having a happily ever after ending. However, I haven't keep trouble coming up with a title. I've had Dragon Descendants, By Dragon Atoned. The one I like the most is Dragon Redemption because of the what happens to some of the secondary characters. But I'll have to spin them on a wheel and see where it stops to get the next title.
You never know. You could be, you know, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll be stuck for either a title or a name or something, and the most strangest places it'll just come to me, like in the shower or in the grocery store or something. And so it'll hit you. You may all of a sudden come up with a title that wasn't one of your finalists, and you'll say, that was it. That's the one, you know. And
I know, I keep looking at that, and then I go and I look at the Amazon listings or the Library of Congress listings, and then keep my fingers crossed saying that there isn't 18 other books with that title that came out the month before.
I have done the same thing. I have come up with a title, and then I have gone to, like, Amazon and said, is there another book with this title and all? But I have to admit, you know, Hatchlings, that can't be, and with the drag she, that's all unique. That's all very, very different. So, and I love your covers. You've got gorgeous covers. Who's your cover artist?
Fantasia Frock Designs is the people who have done the covers for the Drag She Chronicles, and I hope to have them do the other ones. I had mentioned Hatchlings. Curse and Hatchling's Mate, and then the fourth one. And one of the things that I have done in each of the chronicles is the keepers of history and the tellers of tales have recounted a legend of some kind. Usually it's to keep a errant child in better behavior or to discourage someone from doing something that he shouldn't do. And then one of the tales was, you know, a couple who... the wife was lost because someone killed her when she was changing forms. And, you know, drag she mate for life. That wasn't too clear in the excerpt, but the drag she mate for life in this world and the one beyond. So once you've found one, it had better be a happy marriage because it's going to be a long one. And so I have collected all of those legends, which generally is like, you know, a line or two or just a reference in their culture. But each of those has been written up, and each of the characters in the legends given their full due. And the first one of those was actually published as a standalone piece called Magic and Steel. and it's Matuan Kamrek, which is the protector of Matuan. So if you go to my website, you'll see Magic and Steel. If you go to my Amazon author page, it will be there listed at it. And that's basically a novella. And I have three other novellas and two short stories, which will be each of a different legend, which will be at the end put out and published together.
Oh, okay. So you're going to take all the shorts and put them together in one book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Super, super.
So,
and
kind of
well,
a wrap up.
What would you call? What would you call that? Would you would be one of the chronicles? It'd be more like of a 1.5 or.
No, it's actually the title is called First Change: Legends from the Eyrie, as a tribute to Cloud Eyrie, where Eyrie, depending on how you pronounce it, which is the Drakshi's own home. So it has different characters than the chronicles. But it is a, I call it a companion book rather than as an anthology. So, because it has, you know, several different things, but each of the individual ones in there are standalone. I just like the idea of letting the characters of legend tell their whole story. They are not all happily ever endings. There's a lot of romance, a lot of action, but like all legends, some do not, some are tragic and some are romantic. Whereas the Drakshi Chronicles, there is romance.
So, well, we speaking of, we have another question here from an STMMR. Anyway, they ask, is this an erotic story or hot or sweet?
It's definitely not erotic and definitely not sweet. Term I usually use a lot of times is sensual. I usually call it PG-13 because it's not something I would let my 9-year-old niece read, even though most of the stuff is behind closed doors. You know, that's why I call it at that grade level. It is sensual. My books tend to be that way, some more than others. So I just kind of, that's how, I hopefully that will answer it, but it's definitely not erotic. I referenced that earlier was, if you're somebody had suggested a mating flight with the humans in control and dragons taking over, or the reverse, the humans getting a little intimate and then the dragons taking over, those things, I keep it within the species. So you know, I don't do that kind of switching around.
Now, like I said, you were here back in late 2013 with Imprisoned, and like and you're also we have that series, the Windmaster series. This is completely different from what you've done before. What drew you to do these dragons? What drew you to them?
I'd love to say
you get the idea.
My real world.
I mean, where did you come up with the idea?
I was taking a class and had to come up with a short story, and there actually is a real Anastasia. She's 9 years old right now. When the story written, she was much, much younger, which kind of presented a problem. How to age her in my mind and in the story so that it was age-appropriate for the romance to come. And the short story just kind of grew, and it became Dragon Destiny, and the characters kept saying, my story's not done, and kept going with it. But, you know, I just kind of liked the idea of the twin souls and how they were, you know, had to interact with each other and some of the difficulties of having two people control one body. And there are times when they get a little difficult.
So did they ever have an argument and fight for the body?
There has been a couple times where one initiated a shift form, a form shift, when the other one wasn't ready or didn't want to, or stopped one.
Oh, I bet that's fun to write.
You know, the human wanted to change, well, you know, without thinking, was going to change form and race off to the rescue, and the dragon says, no, we're not. My magic overwhelms yours. We're staying human form.
Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Of course, there was a price to pay, and you know, in physical and emotional toll. But generally, most of the dragon souls just kind of hang out in the background and, you know, enjoy the world. Lulin, who's twin to Brannon, he is different. He has a personality of his own. He talks to people on his own, and he lets you know if he doesn't like someone, too.
Ah.
So he was actually very fun to write.
So he's kind of smart.
There are a couple dragon shifter type things out there like that. There's one that I know of that was out there long, long, long ago. But each one has their own unique world that they've created and their own rules. And one of the things I liked was the be able to carry the characters through all of them, even if they're not the main characters, and the legends, because I love the culture of the world.
Yes, definitely. And now, when I was listening, I get the feeling that Anastasia turns into some kind of little warrior woman.
When she started out in Dragon Destiny, she was much younger, and she aged to be a mature woman, an adult. But while she was growing up, they gave her the best training, the same that a drag she would have been, so that she is a skilled warrior. She is a marksman with the bow and arrow. And like all of my female characters, let's just say she can hold her own with any man and kick ass when she needs to.
Good, good. Now, she's fully human, though. She isn't Drakshi.
Spoiler alert.
Okay. So we don't want to ruin the surprise there. So I'm just going to back off on that one for a while. Now,
if they read Dragon Destiny first, they will know the answer to that. Or if they read Hatchling's Curse, because each story is standalone. Enough of the background and the world is woven in so that you don't need to read the books in sequence. The only thing is that, you know, the main spoiler alert, if you don't read them in sequence, is Dragon Destiny, Brannon is searching the world for Anastasia, and obviously he found her.
Yes, he did.
I'm not
going to
go beyond that.
Good. Don't want to spoil it too much there. Helen, tell people where they can find you on the internet.
Okay. I have a author's page on Amazon, and I also have a blog, and of course my just blanked out totally. And my blog is, my main author page is helenhenderson-author.webs.com. And that will also link back to my blog. So basically my name, -author.webs.com. Or if you want to go to my blog directly, it is helenhenderson-author.blogspot.com. There are pages there for each of my books that have other excerpts and a free read of the first chapter of the books. So if you want to read more, you can either go to my website and link over, or go straight to helenhenderson-author.blogspot.com, click on the covers on the top of the page. And you'll also see other short stories and works that I've done there as far as the fiction. And you'll also see two covers that look totally different. That's because I've written on what I call the dark side. Nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I have two nonfiction histories out, and my third one will be published this November.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at them right now. And those are actual archived photos you used on the cover. Those are wonderful. Those are wonderful. But I really like I really like your drag sheet covers and all. And then, of course, you've got the two sci-fi.
Yeah. I really liked Hatchling's Curse. The way they wove in, because where the Anastasia finds a hidden valley that's basically kind of like Machu Picchu, or one of these South American hidden valleys with the stelae and the step temple, and the artists wove them in beautifully.
Like I said, these are gorgeous. Yeah, I got to admit, Brennan is
Okay.
Yes.
So, anyway, well, Helen, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. And readers, thank you for writing in. And listeners, thank you for commenting and writing in. The book is Hatchling's Curse, book two of the Dragshi Chronicles. But Dragon's Destiny is out there, too. You can pick them both up at Amazon, and where all good books are can be found. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again for listening in. Have a great week. Thank you, Helen, for being on the show tonight.
Thanks for having me. Good night, everybody.
Come back when book three is ready, okay?
I will definitely do that.
Definitely. Thanks again for listening in, everybody. Good night and have a great week. Bye-bye. And we're done.
Okay.
Oh, that was great. That was great. And thank you again for being so patient with me, and I really appreciate
it. No problem. I'm just glad I didn't stumble too much over it.
No, you did great. Any idea when book three will be out? You said later in the fall.
Yeah, later in the fall. I haven't really set a date yet because the nonfiction thing is, I'd say, history for an organization that's 180 years. And I will also be doing their anniversary historical program.
Man, you are a woman of. I mean, you do the nonfiction, you do the fiction, you can do everything.
Well, the history is a great background for writing fantasy. You know, so I actually have shot a bow and arrow. I have been with reenactors and had lessons on using, historical weapons. So, hopefully that creates a little realism for my books.
Yeah. So, well, Helen, thank you again. You have, I hope you do real well in sales, and good luck on your new releases. And you know where I live, so get in touch with me, okay?
Okie doke. Thanks a lot, and have a good
night. All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.